This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
As Trump and Trudeau wrangle over big issues like steel and agriculture, a new crisis emerges that seems both terrible and quaint. Many American newspapers, after years of steep decline, are facing yet another peril, because in March, the Commerce Department slammed big tariffs on Canadian uncoated groundwood paper. That's newsprint to you. Consider the Tampa Bay Times, where in April, 50 more jobs were cut due to a potential $3 million annual rise in the price of paper. Reporter Erin Arvinland has been covering this for the Philadelphia Inquirer. Erin, welcome to On the Media.
Thanks for having me.
So where did the U.S. government get the idea that American newsprint producers deserved federal protection from their Canadian counterparts?
It was actually one paper mill in Longview, Washington, that is owned by a private equity firm in New York City. They bought this mill, which is called North Pacific Paper, and somehow were able to wangle a tariff out of the Department of Commerce.
But since then, lots of American paper producers have signed on to their request?
No. No one else in the industry wants this. In fact, they oppose it because they know that a tariff on newsprint would really hurt customers like you and me who subscribe to print newspapers, as well as readers of hardcover and paperback books.
I was looking at a letter that something called the News Media Alliance wrote to the Commerce Secretary, Wilbur Ross. And they said, local newspapers are the core of our community's access to local news about governmental activity, local economic and business issues, high school sports, and milestones for local citizens. Our thousands of employees and millions of readers are counting on you to protect the industry from North Pacific Paper Company's brazen attempt to manipulate the trade laws in a manner that would inflict widespread harm on the newspaper industry without the support of others in the domestic paper industry. And it's signed by hundreds of small newspapers from everywhere, the Ashland Daily Tidings, the Burlington Free Press, Kalamazoo Gazette, Hutchinson News, Laredo Morning Times, and so on. Is there a chance that this could affect thousands upon thousands of jobs?
Oh, definitely. You know, we hear at the Inquirer and Philadelphia Daily News, we'll see costs rise $2 million in 1 year if this tariff continues. In our business, there are two costs, people and paper. This tariff jeopardizing thousands of jobs, that's the ripple effect.
And how many people are employed by this paper mill in Washington State?
250.
I mean, newspapers have taken such a big hit in recent years. What difference in 2018 can the cost of paper possibly make?
Well, even though this one paper mill says, oh, it will only cost a few more pennies per day, the owner of the Wall Street Journal pointed out that pennies on a large number of units every day, that adds up to $8 million annually.
For the Wall Street Journal?
Correct. The Ozono Stockman, which is a small family-owned paper in Texas, they actually heard from their supplier that there will be no more paper available after July.
Wow.
Owners are now not certain they'll be even in business by the end of 2018. So the argument that it's pennies is really a specious one. What they're not calculating is the inescapable fact that this will flow down to the consumer. It's people who read papers. It's readers of hardcover and paperback books. real estate agents, you know, who hand out flyers. It's teachers who buy paper for their classrooms.
Anything that uses grainy paper is going to be in trouble, is what you're saying. When I was in elementary school, we each got big pencils and paper that was so bad there were like chunks of wood still in it. It's just astonishing that one mill that employs 250 people can influence the already ailing local news industry. Even now, there are hardly any eyes on local state houses, and corruption happens in plain sight.
Now, in August, the Department of Commerce will rule on this, whether to basically hit the pause button on this tariff and say we see what the effect is going to be on American workers.
There is some bipartisan opposition to this tariff.
Mm-hmm. Here in Pennsylvania, we have Bob Casey and Pat Toomey, and both of them have signed on to versions of legislation that would put a pause on this. Meanwhile, they've been joined by Republicans, Susan Collins in Maine, independents, like Angus King. Because let's face it, there's a news operation in pretty much every state, and they're all getting hit by this. Right now, 17 senators have co-sponsored the legislation. So there is momentum building. There is bipartisan support to stop the tariff, which is a miracle. On the other hand, we don't know much about the influence of One Rock Capital, which is the private equity owner of this mill in Washington State.
Are you working on that story?
I am, and I could use your help.
What can I do for you?
I could use the public's help in finding out more about the owners of One Rock Capital. Tony Lee and Scott Spielvogel, two of the managing partners there, are very wealthy men. They may have contributed money to someone in the Trump administration or in Congress, so that's really what we need to find out.
Do you think any of this has to do with the fact that—
I know what you're going to say. Is this because President Trump and his administration doesn't like the news business? And the answer is, I don't know.
Fair enough. Erin, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Erin Arvinlund is a reporter for the Philadelphia Inquirer.
Coming up, what do you call campus protests against Israel? According to a bill moving its way through Congress, you call it antisemitism.
This is On the Media.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.